But in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, my goal Friday night as I was typing this up was to get to the end of the chapter. But I'm telling you what, there's just so much in this chapter that I can't see myself hurrying through this. And I'll be honest with you, some people do get bored of book studies. But what else are we going to do? We're here to learn about the Bible, right? So it doesn't matter if I'm in Ephesians for a year. It doesn't matter about those things, because regardless, we're going to be here. We're going to be going through the Word of God anyway. But today, I believe that I'm only going to get down to verse number 23. I seriously had all intentions to get to the end of the chapter, but I did not, was not able to do that. Today, I titled this message, or our lesson this morning, Let It Go. Now, before you start having that phrase go off in your head, please do not stand up and start singing, Let It Go. Let It Go, okay? I don't want you guys to be doing those things. If you do that, then I know the adults in here who watch those movies. But you'll understand why I gave it that title this morning. But let's begin reading in verse number 17, because we left off in verse number 16 last week. I was wanting to really dive in on verse number 16, but I didn't have the opportunity to do so. But we're going to try and stay on schedule here with this. It says, verse number 17, This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let's have a word of prayer again. As I pray outwardly, I'm going to ask you guys to pray silently to the Lord, asking God to speak to your hearts this morning. Lord, we are grateful that we're able to be here. I thank you, Lord, for this great opportunity that you have given us. God, I pray that you just watch over us, guide and protect us. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. Jordan, I'm going to take a sip of water here. So can you turn me down so they don't hear me gulping? Okay, it's down the pipe, Jordan. You can turn me up. Thank you. The things you battle on some days. Well, here we go. A little reminder of the lifestyle that took place during the time of Paul here as he dealt with the church of Ephesus. So I'm just going to give you a little brief summary because I've done this a little bit. Before I even go a little bit further, who remembers the theme of this book? I haven't said it for a couple weeks for a purpose because I want to see if it's stuck yet. Exactly. God working in me so that I can find my worth in him. Then I'm going to add something so that I will know my identity. Who's your identity? Christ. Amen? Christ working in me so that I can find my worth in him. So here's our little reminder. The life of the Roman world revolved around pagan worship. We dealt with this as we opened up Ephesians chapter 1. The structure of worship practice was conducted at the temple of Diana. I didn't mention this as we were going through this, but I feel it's important to bring us up to speed on this, just to give us a little bit more. Its system was built on immorality at this time, with more than 1,000 priestesses working in the temple for what? As prostitutes. A lot of stuff going on here. This group of believers had formed a church literally on an island of righteousness surrounded by wickedness. Kind of sounds like us in our world today. We're trying to live a righteous life, but we're surrounded by a world of wickedness. We're kind of on our own little island, are we not? And I'm not talking about Gilligan's Island. I'm not talking about a three-hour tour to get there. But we are on our own little island surrounded by a wicked world. And so, no different than what was taking place back then. Paul here was to remind them of a few things. And I'm going to share with you what he was going to remind them of. They are now different people from once what they used to be. Amen? You and I, after salvation, hopefully, we have become a different person. What do you mean, hopefully? Well, some people, as I said many times from the pulpit, they just accept the plan of salvation, and that's it, and they don't worry about any other changes in their life. And they're just content with, hey, I'm out of, get out of hell, I'm happy with that, and I'm going to go about my life. But there are changes that takes place. Now, they have a responsibility to do a few things. One is their responsibility is to be holy. Okay? Not only is it the church's responsibility at that time with the church of Ephesus to be holy, because now they are different. I'm going to say this morning. Open Door Baptist Church, you have Jesus Christ in your life. It is your job to be holy. Amen? Especially, I'm going to throw this out there to husbands, because we're going to deal with this in the next couple of weeks. My job as a husband is to make my wife holy before the Lord. It's my responsibility. And so we have a responsibility today. Men, we got a couple different more than the women, but our responsibility today is to be holy. The second responsibility that we have is to live a righteous life before God. So if you're going to be holy, a righteous lifestyle should follow. It's one of the reasons why the Bible says you should know them by their what? You know, it's very hard to distinguish a believer today. If you're judging somebody by their fruit, I'll be honest with you, a lot of believers today look no different than the world. They haven't really set themselves apart. They're not really living a holy life. They're not living a righteous life before God. And it's very hard to decipher who they are. And what a shame that is. So our responsibility is to be holy and live a righteous life before God. Verse number 17 through verse number 19, as we just read, let's read it again. It says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." We're going to take some time to deal with these verses this morning, because now Paul reminds them of how they used to be before they came to Christ. Even other Gentiles, he reminds them, you guys remember your life before salvation? This wasn't a very pleasing life, is it? You know, as I think about this, I'm thankful for my salvation, but as I look back, I still have a lot of scars in my life before salvation. Things that I have put in the closet, things that I don't like to remember. I was talking to Pastor Friday night in the hospital. It was just him and I, and we had some great conversation the last couple days that I will treasure, to be honest with you. And because it was just him and I talking about the Lord. And those are some neat things. And in conversation, he brought up my memory. And you guys know that I have a memory that goes back to the age of 4. I can remember my father, my grandfather, and his little top hat, his long trench coat, coming to our house and opening up his coin purse and allowing us to have some nickels out of there. Little did I know that my sister Christy got quarters. So we got the nickels. I remember those things very vividly. And I was talking to him about those things, and I said, "But Dad, there are some things that I just don't want to remember. There are some things that just were downright shameful in my life that I don't really care to remember." And Paul's reminding these folks here of what their old life used to be, okay? They are, as he reminds them of this, he's also going to share this with them as they go through this. they are to stay focused. You know, it's hard for us individuals to stay focused for a long period of time. I've been talking now probably for about 10 minutes, and I'm probably a 30 have already checked out of here. And you're already probably thinking about the next football season. And that's how far off our mind has drifted. But we are to stay focused. And why we try to stay focused, we're not to get caught up in the vanity that the mind gives. Paul's going to give us some illustrations here. He continues to say that, here I'm going to be nice about this. He's going to say that they are unintelligent. That's the best way that I can put this, without saying the word stupid, which I just did. Their thinking here has been darkened, as he has mentioned. They have been led to believe that their way of life was acceptable. By the way, if you're not living a holy life, if you're not living a righteous life before God, your life is not acceptable. There needs to be changes, okay? So they hadn't had an acceptable lifestyle back then. They had an unrighteous life. An unrighteous life is only acceptable to the unrighteous person. That's the only way it's acceptable. So as he continues to go on here, he was concerned that this church would walk away. Because of all the pagan worship that I was just talking about briefly, everything that they were surrounded with, all the temptations, all the different methods of people trying to lure them away from their new profound and faith in God, Paul had a concern for them walking away. And it's easy to do. I've been here many years, and I've seen people walk away for this reason, that reason, and any other reason. But he was concerned for this. And I believe he was concerned for this because of the ridicule that they would receive from others. No one has ever said that being a believer is going to go in life without being ridiculed. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that you're not going to face persecution during those times. And Paul here, he didn't want these folks to walk away from the Lord. And he's going to give them some advice here. It's good to have someone in your corner to remind you what you have been saved from. Amen? I just gave some brief illustrations of the pagan worship that was taking place. Now, we can go in a little bit deeper into our world right now, the things that we deal with. And we deal with alcoholism. We deal with drugs people fall in that type of a lifestyle. And some get miraculously saved from those things. Thank God for that. By the way, did you know that I was doing some studying this week, that one of the biggest things that's going to take place during the Babylon time here, they're going to be doing some a lot of seducing with drugs. Babylon's going to be one of the biggest premier cities. It's going to be a rich city, and all those things are going to take place here. I'm just giving you just a brief illustration of that, and somebody's like, oh, what is he getting off on here? Anyway, I'm going to come back in here. He was concerned that they would walk away, but I'm thankful today that he was in their corner to remind them what they've been saved from, and what they've been saved to. You know, that's what a preacher does on many different occasions. He comes in and he reminds us of our past, and hey, we don't no longer have to live in that lifestyle anymore because God saved us from that. And now we are able to live a righteous life because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. When you see someone walking after the world and you see no type of correction, it can be very easy to turn back to that lifestyle. And here Paul was kind of dealing with this, which is why it's very important to put yourself under the authority of the church for this reason, for guidance, for wisdom, and for direction. You need that in your life. So in verse number 18, Paul says that they have been alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance. What I appreciate about Paul, and I hope you begin to appreciate this about him as well, I appreciate Paul having the boldness to speak the truth. Some preachers today, they have no boldness to speak the truth. There are preachers today that are afraid to get on the discussion of sin in the lives of people. And I'm thankful that Paul has had that boldness. I'm thankful that we've had a pastor for 48 years who's never shied away from those things. Because we need that in our life, to have someone be bold and say, hey, what you're doing, how you're living, it's not right. You know, come back to where God wants you. So I appreciate Paul's boldness here. He is saying that they really need to be educated in the Word of God. Amen for that. Folks, I'm going to stop here just for a little bit. You and I have a responsibility to educate ourselves in the Word of God. Unfortunately, some just come to church on Sunday mornings and believe that's all they need for that week in life. And I'm thankful that you do come on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, but there's more than educating yourself in the Word of God than just coming to church. I believe your lifestyle outside of church should consist of a good reading pattern, studying the Word of God. And I don't care how your study habits are, I just want you to study it. I don't care if you open up your Bible and read 15 chapters a day. That's your business. I don't care if you open up your Word of God and just read one verse a day. I just want you in God's Word. And I want you to study what God has for you. Develop some good study habits to educate yourself in the Word of God. Okay, he mentions the heart here being blind, referring how they are truly walking in darkness and they need to be walking in the light. There's a kid song that goes through my mind right now. It's called this, Waka 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 in the Light. You guys remember that song? I've actually done that a few times here. We actually used to do it at camp as well on the hillside. That's how they'd open up their sermons. And I'm not going to be doing that for you right now, but that's what comes to my mind as I'm thinking about that. I have a question here. Can a believer have a heart that can go blind? Can a believer have a heart that can go blind? I've seen some heads shaking yes, and the answer is yes. This happens because of choosing to no longer seeking to have a relationship with God. Do you realize this morning, as I mentioned here a few moments ago, people walk away from God. And when they begin to walk away from God, what happens to the heart? The heart becomes distorted. The heart becomes blind to the things, to the truth that they once surrounded themselves with. And so this can happen in a life of a believer as well. Paul knew of the temptations that they faced. He knew of the false teaching that the world was teaching at this time. And Paul didn't want them to fall back into it, which is why I have the theme this morning, let it go. Let it go. After your salvation, you are no longer bound to that sinful lifestyle that you once lived. Let it go. Are you going to be tempted with it? Are you going to be tried with it? Yes, you are. Let it go. Every single day that you wake up, Satan's going to try to get you to go back to that old lifestyle that you used to live. But it's up to us to let it go. Well, how are we able to let it go? By the power and grace of God. You know why it's hard for us to let some things go? It's for this reason, Tom. We don't give it to God. Simple. We don't give it to God. You know the things that we struggle in life? The reason why we struggle with them on a daily basis is this reason. We try to take the problem on ourselves, and we try to solve it ourselves, and we don't include God. Folks, we need to include God in our life and say, hey, God, you know I struggle with this. You know I battle with this. You know Satan's trying to get me to go back to my old lifestyle. And so, God, I got to give it to you. By me letting it go, God, it's giving it to you. So let it go by giving it to God. Move forward. The life of a believer should be a forward progress. It should never be something that's always going backwards. You take one step forward, and sometimes you take two, three steps backwards. That's not how a life of a believer was designed, okay? The life of a believer is a constant moving forward. So today we have, as believers, walk away from the truth of God's word, from other influences and misinterpretations of God's word. So I'm going to give you a little caution here. Be careful. Satan knows how to twist the Bible. He knows how to twist the Bible, and so many people fall for it. How does Satan twist the Bible? By this method. A method that we dealt with a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday nights. And it's that through a lie. That's what twisting the Word of God is. He's lying about it. And so Satan has not changed his tactics on that. He still uses the same thing. And unfortunately, people fall for this. The path that they were on was a path that led to lasciviousness, as we read here in verse number 19. Uncleanliness and greediness. I'm going to deal with these three here for the next several moments, if I may, because I think it's important for us to talk about this. And I know the first one that I'm going to deal with, it might make people feel a little bit uncomfortable, but I'm going to stop here just real quick. It's coming from the Word of God, okay? So if it's coming from the Word of God, as uncomfortable as we might get in this, there's a lesson for us to learn. Lasciviousness is a lifestyle that is a sexual behavior conduct that is considered to be very rude. We're going to talk about this for a little bit. And I'm going to be honest with you, it's something that I am uncomfortable talking about in front of a group of people, but I feel that the Lord wants me to talk about these things. So here's what was taking place. They were very open about their sexuality. No different than the lifestyles we're living today. People are open about their sexuality. And honestly, keep it to yourself. There's no place for it out in the workforce. There's no place for it out in your family. There's no place for it in the church. Keep it to yourself. Okay? You can probably compare this to how people act openly. I'm going to give you a few cities. New Orleans. You could also probably compare this to the lifestyle that takes place in Vegas as well. Having no shame or guilt of how they have expressed themselves publicly. Never been to Vegas. I've been to New Orleans a couple times. And I will tell you this. The sexual impurity that takes place there will blow your mind. It's an ungodly place, yet it is surrounded by many beautiful artifacts, buildings, great antiques of some of the most expensive chandeliers that you'll ever see in your lifetime. Some of the most expensive, I'm talking mirrors, that you would ever see in your lifetime that kings and queens have stood in front of. I saw a mirror that was probably 8 feet wide, 8 feet tall. I'm thinking to myself, man, that's a big queen back in the day. She must have ate pretty well. But this mirror that I stood in front of was valued between $10,000 to $15,000. Yet there are a lot of those things that can attract tourism to that place. But you get on the other streets, you will see a different lifestyle. You'll see people that are open up about their sexuality. They don't care how they act in front of you. They don't care about the things they do in front of you. And we have this taking place in our world today. I've heard stories. You go to Vegas, there's nothing but pamphlets that are handed out to all the tourists that are going by, attracting people to come see their sexual shows. To have them get lured in, to get caught up, and to be captivated about that type of a lifestyle. And they had no shame about how they expressed themselves publicly. They were considered unclean spiritually. They were impure. They were lacking in clarity and precision of conception or execution here. Again, I know this is an uncomfortable conversation, but at the same time, it needs to be talked about. There's nothing worse as I go to work and I begin to hear of the men begin to talk about how they would have these things that would take place over the weekend with the women that are involved in their life. Just recently, we had a young man, and I say young man, he's about the age of 40, coming in about a month or two ago, bragging about an affair that he had on his wife. Going from co-worker to co-worker, "Hey, I cheated on my wife." I'm thinking to myself, what a fool. What an idiot. It's the only thing that can come to my mind. The second thing that came to my mind was this. I want to take this young man outside, and I just want to pound his head to the building because he forsook his wife and is bragging about the sexual affair that was taking place. As we continue to go on, we're done with that subject. God's people said, amen. We continue to go on here. So verse number 19, it says, having given yourselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness, and then to with greediness as well. I skipped over cleanliness for a reason, because we basically just dealt with this particular subject. We can just kind of go off on that. But I'm going to deal with the other thing that's in here, and that is this. They were extremely greedy. Extremely greedy. Their greed was uncontrolled. We live in a world today that we think that we got to have this, that, and everything else in between. We're a greedy society. You know what that means? If we're greedy, constantly wanting something better than what we have, that's telling me one thing about that individual. Or I can say that's telling me one thing about our whole society as a whole. We are not content with what we have. We're not content with what we have. I like what the Word of God says about Jesus as he's talking. He says, I'm going to mess it up here. But the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head, but the foxes have holes to sleep in and the birds have nests to sleep in. You know what that's telling me about our Lord and Savior? He wasn't pursuing the greediness of the world and getting caught up in that lifestyle. He was content where God had put him. That's what greediness is. It's saying we're not content with what we have. You know, I don't like this outfit, so I'm going to go buy another outfit. I don't like this house, so I'm going to go buy another house. We're greedy. Why can't we just be content with the clothes that we have on our back? We can only go to one bathroom at a time. I've never found myself in two different bathrooms. It doesn't work that way. I can never sleep in three different bedrooms. I only have one bedroom I can sleep in. You know, I'm just saying those things. We're not content. We're greedy. It's uncontrollable. It's taken over our world like you would not believe. Our housing market. Have you guys seen our housing market lately? I was talking to a friend of mine this past week. He's got a brother who makes $300,000 a year. 30 years of age. Lives in the city of Dallas, Texas, $300,000 a year. He gets bonuses a couple times a year, about $100,000, $150,000 every time he gets a bonus. Works in the medical field. He's stuck in an apartment. He's trying to buy a house, but he cannot buy a house because of what's going on. People are greedy. He said he's put in cash offers of $200,000 over of what the property is actually valued at. Folks, we're living in a world that is full of greed. It's absolutely amazing. They were longing for increase in the acquisition of, or use of material gain or social value such as status or power. Greed has been identified as undesirable throughout known human history for this reason, because it creates behavior conflict between personal and social goals. Now we're going to move on through verse number 22 through verse number 24. It says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Paul shares with them what has changed for them because of the new man that they have been put on. He points out that their previous life had a different type of conversation, and that conversation wasn't pleasing to the Lord. After salvation, there are so many changes that God makes in our life. And I'm saying that for a reason. I don't want to say, after salvation, I made this change, and I made that change, and this change. I'm saying that for a reason, because when we begin to make the changes, sometimes, unfortunately, they're not permanent. It's a temporary change. It's a temporary fix. But when we allow God to make the changes, it can be permanent. Amen? Some we let go of very easily. Some we have a hard time letting go. But I find it very interesting that Paul first mentions the conversation of man. He mentions this, how corrupt it is. And because we now have a new image, the conversation that we have needs to be changed. And I believe he's pointing this out for a reason. And I've dealt with this the last several months, and especially the last several weeks, as we've opened up the Word of God. Our conversation can hurt others around us. Our conversations in church, as we talk bad about someone, as we belittle somebody, as we put them down, your little innuendos that you say to somebody, and you know what you mean by them, your conversation needs to change. Why? Well, I'm going to give you a reason. Because we now represent Christ. We are His ambassadors. And we need to be careful of the things that come out of the mouth. The things that come out of the mouth are very damaging. And I'll be honest with you, I know people who say things purposely just to hurt somebody. How do I know that? Because I've been a part of that. One of the quickest things that I can do in life is be quick with the tongue and say some pretty derogatory things to people. Oh yeah, I'll offend you with my words. And I've done those things, and shame on me for doing that. You can also usually judge a person by their conversation. And to be quite honest with you, as I said earlier, it has become very hard to tell if somebody is really a believer anymore because of the conversation that they have. It's getting quiet in here, especially in churches. It's rare to hear of godly conversations. You have people talking about the latest movies that they have watched. You have people talking about the latest gossip that's going on in the church. You have people talking about the latest sport event that has taken place. And then you hear people talking about other believers. And that's sad. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to be a part of a church where we come in and we begin to demean one another. That's not the church I want to be a part of. By the way, if that's something that you feel comfortable in and you want to talk about somebody else, I hope God changes your ways. I truly do, because that's not living a godly life. People can become crude. They can become hateful from the very things that they allow to come forth from their mouth. You have narcissistic people in a church that spews forth such hatred towards others. And I'm going to close with this because I'm running out of time. But next week, we're going to pick up on the type of conversations that we are to put away. Paul begins to deal with this in the next few verses here, and I hope, Lord willing, we'll finish that, because there is a certain way for you and I to be talking. We will also deal with what type of conversation that we are to have. Why? Because we're no longer representing the old man. See, the old man, it's easy to do those things. But the new man, no, we got a new way of living. We got a new life that has been given to us. And we got a whole new conversation that should be coming out of our mouth. As I close with this lesson this morning, I want you to think back this past week on your life. And has your conversation towards others, whether it be in the church, whether it be in your family, whether it be in the workforce, has your conversation been one that is pointing people to Jesus? Or has it been one that has been turning people away from Jesus? We'll see the importance of this next week. So let's have a word of prayer. You guys have some time of fellowship and time to use the restroom and all those things. Get a drink of water and come back in here. Lord, we thank you for the day you've given us. God, I thank you for your word and how you've used your word to change millions of people's lives. God, I pray, Lord, as we go into this lesson next week, the importance of our conversation, the type of things that we should be talking about, the type of things that we should no longer be talking about. God, I pray that you'd help us to be more in tune with the things that are coming out of our mouth as well, to where we're not being offensive to a brother or a sister in Christ. Lord, help us not to be offensive to the ones who are not saved as well. Lord, I pray that we would really begin to think about the things that we say. Lord, our whole job, our whole thought behind this should be leading people to you. Lord, bless us in the next hour to come. We ask you these things in your name. Amen.